You ever watch this guy on television?
You all were not telling the truth, and you should not be trusted.
Congressman Matt Gaetz, thank you for what you did for your country tonight.
Be offended with the Democratic whip, not House Republicans.
Like a machine, Matt Gaetz.
Welcome to Hot Takes. I'm Congressman Matt Gaetz. Let's talk about the news. Pennsylvania, more and more looking like the epicenter of potential election fraud. We covered the Pennsylvania Supreme Court decision to count ballots 3 days after the election, to count ballots even that had improper postmarks. Now, that decision by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court went up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and very disappointingly, but I can't say shockingly, Chief Justice John Roberts creeps over, joins the liberals on the court, votes with them. Because there's a 8-member court right now, that leaves the decision as a 4-4 deadlock. And so the United States Supreme Court is unable to overturn this bizarre anti-democratic decision by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, and it leaves that lower court decision intact. Now, this may change once Justice Amy Coney Barrett is confirmed to the Supreme Court. That may leave the court the opportunity to grant certiorari to review that again and decide it 5-4. I don't know how Judge Barrett would decide that case. I suspect she won't be asked that, but I do believe she's going to be confirmed. But yet again, you know, it's always the institutionalist right that seems to present us these disappointments. I mean, you know, the Bushes, who take great pleasure in criticizing President Trump for attacking the great institutions of our country, give us John Roberts as Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And this decision, where Roberts has joined the liberals on the court, has done far more violence to the institution of democracy and voting than Donald Trump ever has. I mean, think about it. 3 days after the election, we're not going to know who won Pennsylvania. That's crazy. That's going to make us look incompetent to the world. I feel good about states like Florida, where we have a sound elections operation run by our Secretary of State. I feel good also about North Carolina, because there I think there's at least a court that will properly and fairly interpret the law. But man, in Pennsylvania, it continues to look like there may be no backstop to the type of fraud that undermines our confidence in the result. I hope we can get Justice Barrett confirmed. I hope that this question will be reviewed again by the United States Supreme Court. And I hope that we're not, you know, 48, 72, even more hours after the election, still counting ballots that may not have been lawfully cast. I am President Trump's main man on cable news and in the halls of Congress. That's the subject of W. James Antheil III's piece in the Washington Examiner, chronicling my support not just for the president's politics, but for his policies and the way in which those policies do represent a realignment of republicanism towards a populism that puts the people of our country first. And we're really pushing back against the special interests, the president and I, whether they want forever wars abroad or whether they want trade deals that impoverish our people here at home. I think that the president has created a unique opportunity for public servants like myself to step forward and free ourselves from the traditional dogmas of our parties. And sometimes it even means forging some relationships across the aisle. And in this Washington Examiner piece, they talk a little bit about my friendships with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Katie Hill, two people I disagree with strongly on the issues, but who I don't think are sellouts. They might be socialists, but they're not sellouts. And I can appreciate someone who holds views sincerely, even if they're not my views, even if they're dangerous views, as opposed to somebody who's willing to take any view if they get the right campaign donation or the right promise of a job after their public service. So I'm grateful that I represent a new breed of Republican populists. And I think that President Trump is just the type of transformational leader who can ensure that our movement, our party, and our country are better off in the future. From Motherboard Vice, The New Yorker suspends Jeffrey Toobin for masturbating on Zoom call. The call was an election simulation featuring The New Yorker's all-star panel. Toobin apologized for the embarrassingly stupid mistake. The call was apparently one where they had different people playing different roles as establishment Republicans, establishment Democrats, Joe Biden, and Toobin was playing the role of the courts. He did not know that his Zoom video was on, and he was seen, I guess, simulating more than the election, I guess would be the way that I would put it. No word from Toobin's talent network or his publisher for his books. I've not seen anything from CNN on this. I don't know if they've joined in suspending Toobin, but he says he apologizes to his family, his wife, and his coworkers. I would think that when one is participating in their election analysis, they wouldn't be so distracted as to engage in this activity, but who knows? You know, different people, I guess, react differently to different types of simulations. Senator Chuck Grassley is my favorite Senate octogenarian. He had some hot takes on the election interference being prosecuted by Twitter and other digital platforms. Take a listen.
Last week, news broke about Hunter Biden's questionable financial dealings. That information, allegedly from Hunter Biden's laptop, appears to show Vice President Biden may have been more aware of his son's financial dealings with foreign despots and criminals than he admitted to the American people. That information was quickly censured by big tech companies. Just today, DNI Director Ratcliffe said that Hunter Biden's laptop is not part of a Russian disinformation campaign. You know what actually is fake news? The Steele dossier. But I don't recall reporters and big tech censoring the false reporting about President Trump and the Steele dossier. Instead, the liberal media did just the opposite. They became super spreaders of false reporting across the world. What happened last week is election interference and anti-conservative bias, and Facebook and Twitter are guilty. Democrats and liberals in the press can't have veto authority over information just because it makes their nominee look bad. They can't have a double standard. Vice President Biden owes the American people answers.
The senator's right. And you know what? We need to do more in Congress. The problem is Congress has been bought off by big tech. And so if Congress won't act, the administration and the appointees of the president to the FCC and the Federal Election Commission need to do so. The laptop from hell. That's what President Trump has dubbed the Hunter Biden laptop that apparently languished at a computer repair shop for some time before it being discovered with a tremendous amount of evidence on it. Evidence of Hunter Biden's personal misdeeds, which aren't particularly interesting to me. What's far more interesting is the evidence that buttresses the claims that myself and many others made regarding the corruption in Ukraine, regarding the exchange of favors and influence for money and lucrative business deals. Now you have Adam Schiff actively continuing to run defense for the Bidens. He did that with the phony impeachment. Now he's doing it by claiming that the evidence that has been generated directly refuting the claims by the Bidens regarding corruption is part of a Russian disinformation campaign. Haven't we seen this movie before? I mean, I'm old enough to remember the first time Adam Schiff told us that it was the Russians that we really need to be worried about. You know who we really needed to be worried about in 2016? Hillary Clinton messing with the Russians, paying them through the DNC to go and get spies and intelligence assets and this crazy part of the world to try to destabilize our democracy. And now, when the truth is out, when the emails showing meetings and communications regarding Burisma surface, Adam Schiff says, well, don't pay attention to that. That's just the Russians again trying to attack our democracy. It sure would be nice if we started with the Americans who undermine our democracy and our country and our institutions by selling out to corrupt foreign businesses before we go, you know, creating this theory that it's the Russians that pose the greatest threat to America. John Ratcliffe was on Fox News to directly refute that. He's the director of national intelligence. Take a listen.
So, Maria, it's funny that some of the people that complain the most about intelligence being politicized are the ones politicizing intelligence. And unfortunately, in this case, it is Adam Schiff, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, who, as you pointed out on Friday, said that the intelligence community believes that Hunter Biden's laptop and the emails on it are part of some Russian disinformation campaign. Let me be clear. The intelligence community doesn't believe that because there's no intelligence that supports that. And we have shared no intelligence with Chairman Schiff or any other member of Congress that Hunter Biden's laptop is part of some Russian disinformation campaign. It's simply not true. And this is exactly what I said I would stop when I became the director of national intelligence, and that's people using the intelligence community to leverage some political narrative. And in this case, apparently, Chairman Schiff wants anything against his preferred political candidate to be deemed as not real and is using the intelligence community or attempting to use the intelligence community to say there's nothing to see here. Don't drag the intelligence community into this. Hunter Biden's laptop is not part of some Russian disinformation campaign, and I think it's clear that the American people know that.
The Presidential Debate Commission continuing to do the bidding of Joe Biden. Raheem Kassam at the National Pulse has the story. Presidential Debate Commission ditches foreign policy focus following Hunter Biden laptop leaks. The third presidential debate was originally set to take place on Thursday. Obviously, now it is going to be the second presidential debate, but following the release of the Hunter Biden emails and laptop details in the New York Post, the widely partisan Presidential Debate Commission announced that it would no longer be focusing on foreign policy, the effect being the protection of Joe and Hunter Biden. The topics will be American families, COVID-19, race in America, climate change, leadership, and national security. I guess you could say the national security is challenged when you have a president or a vice president, in the case of Joe Biden, utilizing their family to go and undermine America's interests in the world. But the Trump doctrine, the realignment of our foreign policy values to put our country and our people first, not to spill our treasure or the blood of our bravest patriots and far away wherever a stand, that has been an element of the Trump presidency that has been deeply inspiring to me, and also one that I think has realigned our politics and our vision of the world to embrace realism rather than the fiction and mirage of nation building. And I think that there's something to the fact that an establishment institution like the Presidential Debate Commission wouldn't want to have real talk about America's role in the world and about the need to ensure that we preserve Americanism for our country and that we don't think so low of it that we believe it could be exported through endless foreign wars. I suspect the president will probably not give too much credence to the topic choices of the Presidential Debate Commission. I think he's going to say what he wants to say. I think he's going to pressure Joe Biden on the activities of his family. And I think it's going to be something to watch. Thanks for listening to Hot Takes. I'm Congressman Matt Gaetz. The audio quality today has been a little different. We're on the road with the Trump team, campaigning across Northwest Florida, turning out the vote, engaging our fellow Americans. This podcast is written, produced, and directed by a team that includes myself, my communications director, Luke Ball, and Joel Valdez on our communications team. Luke Ball yesterday suffered a motorcycle accident. Someone else failed to yield, and he's in the intensive care unit and has gone through multiple surgeries. He's a strong man of great faith. If anyone would be willing to say a prayer for our great team member, Luke Ball, I would appreciate it, and I know he would too. We would love to have you back tomorrow. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you rate the podcast. Join us again for more Hot Takes.